Have you ever had someone who is just a real braggart? Somebody that you knew in your life that, you know, and I know my dad told me, as I've heard from others of you, it ain't bragging if you can do it. We're going to have one of the passages that is probably well known by all of you this morning. I don't know how many messages that you have heard about Saul's conversion. But Luke, the writer of Acts, which is the book that we are studying right now, speaks about this conversion, and it's one of the most tremendous conversions in Scripture that we could ever study. Before Saul was converted, though, this was his mindset. If anyone thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church for his legalistic righteousness, faultless. But here's where Jesus touched him. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. And what is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ. What a powerful statement. Is that your statement this morning? I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection. Wow. And what was that power of His resurrection? Well, that, my friends, is the Holy Spirit. In the book of Acts, it's all about what? A call to spirit living. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. Jesus. That's His assignment that He has given to you and I, believers in Jesus. Not just for forgiveness of sins, but to make Him Lord of your life. That's the relationship that God seeks. And if you will give Him that, He promises you an eternity with Him. Now, how long is this life? None of us know. It's only God that knows the number of our days that we'll spend here on earth. Some are cut very short. Others have elongated times. But all of our days here are nothing in comparison with eternity, which is forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. You getting tired of me saying that? This life that we live right now is so short compared to all eternity. And every man is going to spend eternity. For it's God that says, I have put eternity in the hearts of men. So we are going to experience eternity, but just where are you going to spend eternity is what matters. Are you going to spend it in the presence of God? Or are you going to spend it with the absence of God? Hell is the absence of God. Heaven is the presence of God. Even now in this life, we have the presence of God with us. But so are there people of this world that would choose to have the absence of God in their life. And if they have the absence of God in their life, they are going to have an absence of God for an eternity. I don't know about you, but my heart is really burdened for those who have not made Jesus Christ Lord, who have not just taken grace that's been offered, forgiveness of your sins, and taken only that, and have not offered back to God, here is my life. I surrender it to you. Acts chapter 9 is where we're going to be today. Verses 1 to 31. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest, Caiaphas, and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, the oldest city in all of the world. Many biblical scholars have said that Damascus was founded by one of Seth's sons. Seth was a son of Noah. So it's an old, old city. So that if any be found there who belong to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As Saul neared Damascus on his journey, which you have to understand, his journey from Jerusalem to Damascus was about 145 to 150 miles. It took him a week to make that trek. So as he neared Damascus on his journey, and he's just full of this zeal, murderous threats about these Lord's disciples, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground. And he heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And I don't think that it was a friendly voice. I think it was a voice that shook Saul to the bone. Number one, for a voice from heaven to know him by name. You see, God knows each and every one of you by the names that the people of this earth give you. However, if you give God your life, he has a new name for you that will be your name in heaven. And that name will portray the type of life that you exhibited while here on this earth. It'll be put on the white stone that you will be handed, and you'll see your new name there. But I can imagine the voice that can make the cedars of Lebanon just splinter, saying to Saul, "Why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. I love about Jesus. He makes it plain. He doesn't leave it to guesswork. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do." How do you think that would sit with a man who was legally righteous, who was a Pharisee of Pharisees, a Jew of Jews, being told what to do. You'll go to the city and you will do as I tell you what you must do. How humble, how fearful Saul must have felt. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. His companions are completely speechless. And Paul is blinded by truth. Paul, Saul, you are persecuting me. Who are you, Lord? Jesus, the one you are persecuting. That doesn't sound like that would bode well for Saul, does it? If the Lord of all creation was calling you out, why are you persecuting me? Could Jesus be saying that to you? Or to someone that you know and care about? They're persecuting Jesus because they simply won't believe in who he is. They refuse to accept him as the Son of God sent to this earth to die for their sins, but then also resurrected by the Spirit of God out of that death and brought into life everlasting, which is why he has the ability today to say, believe in me and you shall not die. You shall live forever. For 3 days, Saul was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, Ananias? Yes, Lord. And if the Lord ever calls you, does he call at convenient times? Lorene and I were sharing this morning about how at 2 o'clock she was still awake. And I asked her how she was feeling. She goes, well, I'm feeling a little tired. You know, I said, yeah? I said, why? She goes, well, I was up till 2 o'clock. My mind was just playing with all sorts of things. And honestly, has that ever happened with you? And you're fumbling around, you're tossing, you're turning, you get up, you get down. And you just wonder, why? Why can't I just have the rest that I truly desire? And you start talking with God. Lord, what do you want me to be doing? Who do you want me to be praying for? That's one of my first questions when God wakes me up during the night. Who do you have on your mind, Lord, for me to pray for? And I start interceding. I start praying. Or is it me, Lord? You just want a time just with me? Uninterrupted, unscheduled, just with me. And if you spend those sweet minutes, sometimes hours, with God, you'll find yourself refreshed and strengthened even for the next day. Even though physically you would think, I am just going to be wiped out. Instead, you are filled with this vigor because you have communed with the Father. You've had that time of sweet, uninterrupted relationship. When you've listened for his voice. And it's amazing. In fact, I like what I read from a writer this week. He says, the closer that you get to God, the quieter his voice gets. And I just drank that thought in. Wow. The closer I get to God, the quieter his voice gets. But what am I doing? I am bringing myself into his presence. With thanksgiving and praise, I enter there. What about you? Ananias says, yes, Lord. And the Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street. Straight Street was one of the main streets that was built in Damascus. It's still there today, even though it's called by a different name. But Straight Street was right in the very middle of Damascus, and it went from one entrance to the other entrance, or one entrance to an exit, or an entrance to an exit. However you want to look at it, whichever way you came into the town, there was a straight street that goes in Damascus, and it's still there today. Ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming and placing his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. That's an amazing verse to me. 145 to 150 miles away, Paul has been wreaking havoc in the church for Christians. And yet here in Damascus, the word has already arrived ahead of Saul that this man is no good against Christians, that he tends for their harm. I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm that he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he's come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. I don't think there's any argument. When God says go, you go. Go. Then he tells him the reason. This man is my chosen instrument. Wow. Do you understand this morning that you are a chosen instrument of God as well? That to each one of you gathered here who believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you have been given a ministry. And that ministry is a ministry of reconciliation. That you help others to understand who God is and what God desires of you. And you reconcile them to God. You show them, look, this is how you can have relationship with the God who made you. Because there's a hole in every person's heart that only God can truly fill. Only wisdom comes when you spend time with the God of all wisdom. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Wait a minute, Lord. If I become a Christian, it's all a primrose path, isn't it? It's going to go easier for me, right? No, it's not. The world will hate you for what you represent. Because what you represent to them is something that they don't believe in, and that's Jesus Christ. They choose to reject him. And in so doing, they will reject you. They won't invite you to their parties. which is probably not a bad thing, because I got tired of coming home from their parties and crying out to the porcelain goddess. I got tired of the wayward ways that they would try to lead me in my life. I got tired of them trying to press on me their values. And instead, I had God press into me what his values were. And when I had God's values upon me, they don't mesh well with the ways of the world. And so the ways, those that follow the ways of the world will not mesh with you in easy relationship. But go anyway. Try to mesh with them. Try to find those places where there is a little common ground where you can show them the light that's within you. Because that's the ministry of reconciliation that's been given to all of us. Yes, through the organization of church, my name is preceded by the word pastor. You all know me or call me Pastor Don. Well, guess what? I could call you Pastor Al, Pastor Melanie, Pastor Suzanne, and Sharon. Pastor Don. Pastor George. We are all ministers. And God has us as his instruments. Saul's was to carry his name before Gentiles, their kings, and the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. End of conversation with Ananias. So then Ananias went to the house and he entered it. What house did he go to? The house of Judas on Straight Street. Now, I love this next portion. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see me again, or so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Don't you love the love of Christ that's exhibited by Ananias here? He didn't come in accusatorily. You who's been breathing out murderous threats against those who believe in Jesus Christ, how double dog dare you to come to Damascus with letters of authority to arrest those who follow Jesus? No. What does Ananias do? He places his hands upon Saul. "Brother Saul." How many times we need to look at those that we think are our enemies and look at the potential that they could have for God's kingdom rather than looking at them for why they're our enemies. "Oh, but Pastor, I can't let down my guard. I mean, after all, they're the enemy." Maybe you need to let down your guard, because even Jesus said, "Pray for your enemies. Do good to those who would otherwise wish harm or do harm to you. Do good." Ananias is doing good. "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me that you might see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. Now, Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. Wow, what a turnaround, right? Here the man so full of the law knows the prophecies, knows that a Messiah is coming, has finally turned his heart and realized in his mind, this Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. And he's so bold as to go into the very synagogues where he was going to look for believers of the way, and he declares Jesus is the Son of God. And all those who heard him were astonished and asked, huh? Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on this name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests? Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. Can you imagine what the believers might have been thinking? Ah, he's using friendliness to get into our ranks to find out just how strong the way or the believers in Damascus really are and who they are by name, so that then he could pull forth the letters and drag every one of them back to Jerusalem and put them in jail. Is he secretly trying to get in with all of us? But instead, does Saul talk to the believers? No. He's there to baffle the Jews who lived in Damascus. You don't understand. We missed the signs. Isaiah 53, it's come alive. I was there. I was part of the council that helped to bring Jesus into court and to decide that he was guilty. I, Saul, I was there. Oh, I applauded when they beat him, when they tortured him, for all the things that he was disrupting in our Jewish ways. But my friends, all this was foretold in Isaiah 53. And that man who at one point in time I hated for what he was doing to our traditions, our ways, our religion, I have now given my heart to him. And my life is for his purposes. Baffling. Luke does not talk about the time of Saul's going away. But Saul talks about it in the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 1, verses 13 to 17 says this. This is from Saul, now whose name is Paul. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. Extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me, so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not consult any man, nor did I go to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was. But I went immediately into Arabia and later returned to Damascus. So that portion Luke leaves out, that Saul was there and he went to the synagogues and he baffled the Jews, but then he left. But he returns to Damascus. And after many days had gone by, the Jews conspired to kill him. But Saul learned of their plan. Day and night they kept close watch on the city gates in order to kill him. But his followers, but what? But his followers took him by night and lowered him in a basket through an opening in the wall. These are no longer just the believers of Damascus. These are followers of Saul, a man who has been turned around by the Spirit of God. So he leaves. He comes into Damascus. How? How did Saul walk into Damascus at the very beginning? Blind, being led by other people. Can you see the distinct difference between how he wanted to arrive in Damascus? He wanted to ride into Damascus with all this authority, showing his power and his might, and he had letters in his hand. He was ready to persecute the church, but instead converted. Just outside of Damascus, Jesus met him. Is there somebody that you know that is on the road to Damascus? On the road to rebellion against God. Maybe they're even religiously correct, but they're not correct in their relationship with God. Oh, they know about God. They know scriptures. They can quote them, but they don't know God. For to know God, as John writes for us, to know God is to love. Because God is love. And if you do not love, you do not know God. Are you filled with love for others, especially for the lost? If not, why not? Because you don't know the life, the eternity that they're going to suffer in? It says, hell is like going to prison. You are chained up in a cell. Utter darkness. And in that utter darkness, do any of you like walking around in darkness? How do you walk around in darkness? Right? You get low as you go. And you're trying to find those things that you might stumble into. And then your wife might put her overnight bag in a place that you didn't expect it to be. And you fall on your face, giving yourself a whiplash to save your face from going into the dresser. I don't know, I just threw in a personal application there. I don't know why. I swallow the fly. But when Saul comes to Jerusalem, he tries to join the disciples, but they're all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple, a follower of Christ. So Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and debated with the Grecian Jews, but they tried to kill him. And when the brothers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Now, who might he have seen in Caesarea? Well, who was the subject in chapter 8? Philip, the evangelist, right? He went to Azotus by the power of the Spirit, and from there he went on up the coastline until he settled in Caesarea. And you got to understand, Saul or Paul, whoever, you know, however you want to look at him, he had gone to Arabia for 3 years. So there was an expanse of time for Philip to make his journey up to get to Caesarea, to have a place where they could have sent Saul and then send him off to Tarsus. And then this report comes out. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord. And that's where we're stopped today. Oh, that our church would enjoy a time of peace. That we would be strengthened. That we'd be encouraged by the Holy Spirit. That we would grow in numbers. That we would be living in the fear of the Lord. Loving Heavenly Father, I pray those blessings upon Mountain Valley. That we would be able to live in peace in our community and yet, Lord, be such a force for Jesus Christ. Because wherever a force for Jesus Christ arises, we know that there will be controversy. But Lord God, establish your peace here. That this would be a safe haven for believers. That they would come here, Lord God, to be strengthened. That the word of God would be spoken to every person, that every person would be ready with a word to minister to one another. That we'd be encouraged by your Holy Spirit. That our eyes might behold transformations in people that we know, in people of this community, that we want to see Prescott Valley and Prescott and Chino Valley and Mayer and Humboldt and all the little towns and cities and villages that are up in this area just affected by the power of Jesus' name. Lord God, we are a church that is calling out for spiritual awakening to happen on this mountaintop. May we be a place where the power of your Holy Spirit just falls down upon each and every one of us, that we refuse to not talk about Jesus. That when people try to shut us up, we say, I can't stop talking about my Lord. I can't stop giving testimony about what we have seen and what we have heard, what we have experienced. Lord, that you would increase our numbers, that we would be encouraged and strengthened in that. that we would have others that we would be able to minister to mentor, to disciple in your ways. And may each of us understand that we are your ministers, chosen by you, appointed to reconcile others into your kingdom. Oh, Holy Spirit, rain down upon this place. And let it land upon every heart that we would be true to you. That we would study your word as we've never studied it before, to get to know you and your purpose for our lives, for our church, for this community.